You're there in Joshua chapter 5. We're just going to read a few verses this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, stretch your legs. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning as we read God's Word. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did." So the title of my message this morning is Trust and Obey. You pray with me and for me, please, this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help me this morning, that, Lord, you would do what I cannot, and that, Lord, is speak to the hearts of the people this morning. Lord, I can speak to their intellect or to their thinking process, but, Lord, you can speak to their heart this morning. And, Lord, I pray that you'd give them something this morning that each and every person would leave for the better because of what's taking place in this building this morning, this church house this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd give them something from your word. Lord, help us, strengthen us, use us, guide us and direct us this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The children of Israel have just come out of the wanderings in the wilderness, and they've been wandering around for many, many years, 38 years, almost to be exact, from the time that they originally went out to espy the land of Canaan, and the men gave their false reports or their negative reports. And so it was 2 years getting up to that point and 38 years after that. And so you have 40 years of them wandering in the wilderness, and they've now come to the land of Canaan again, and Joshua is now at the helm, and Joshua is fixing to lead the people into the land of Canaan. That's where we find this passage of Scripture as it picks up. Joshua is making preparations for battle. He's already sent his spies out into the land to figure out what the enemy is doing, to figure out what's going on. He's already sent the spies in. And by way of introduction, I want to first notice, number one, the challenge that was presented to Joshua. See, Joshua is now leading the people that are not exactly known for their contentment. You with me on that? Remember, in the wilderness, they began to complain. They were complaining and complaining and complaining. It kind of is like when you go to the nursery and all the kids are complaining about the colored toy they have. Well, he has a blue truck. I have a red truck. It's a truck. It doesn't matter. But they were complaining, and they would always complain. And so these people were not known for their contentment. Remember when they complained that they ate manna? I mean, the Bible says they ate angels' food. Food that was prepared by God. Now, hold on a second. My wife can cook a mess of food. I mean, you can tell. I gained about 20 pounds since I've been married, and praise the Lord, I'm happy for it. But my wife can cook a mess of food. But imagine eating the food that Jesus prepared. Woo! Food straight from God. I mean, the Bible says that they had to eat angels' food, and they complained about it. You know what they said? God, I don't like it. It's getting old. It's gross. We want a different flavor. And God got fed up with them. The Bible says that God gave them so much quail, it came out of their nostrils. That's gross. Are you with me this morning? That's gross. I mean, that's a lot of quail. And the Bible says, and I've eaten quail before, it's pretty good eating, but I've never eaten so much of it that it comes out of my nostrils. And God said that he gave it so much, man, they didn't even want to look at it. It's gross. And you ever done something like that? Your favorite food is now, you don't even want to look at it because you ate too much of it. I give you a story real quick. My dad one time, he's a cruel prankster, and we went to Juarez, Mexico, and he decided to go get pastries. And we went to this pastry shop. Now, obviously, you can tell I'm a white boy. I've never been to Mexico. I don't know what to do. I just saw something that looked like a chocolate donut. Man, I grabbed that sucker right up. Woo, put that in the bag. We're taking that home. And so we got home, and we're sitting around playing a board game, and my dad said, I said, man, I'm hungry. I want a snack. My dad said, well, why don't you eat your chocolate donut that you got from Mexico? So I said, okay. So I went inside, grabbed my chocolate, and I bit into that. And let me just tell you, friends, it did taste nothing like a chocolate donut, okay? I'm sorry. God bless those people. It didn't taste like chocolate. It was something else. And I said, I know what chocolate tastes like. That don't taste like chocolate. And there was a rule in our house, if you got it, you eat it. You finished it for me. Thank you. And so we had to eat it. And so my dad said, no, you got it. You have to eat it. And I'm sitting there thinking, there is no way I'm going to be able to finish this donut. There is no way. So I started my plea, right? But dad, man, it's nasty. It's gross. You should taste it. It's disgusting. And he said, no. He said, no, you got to eat it. You got it. You got to eat it. And so I think at that point, he got a little smart though. Because see, along the way, he grabbed a donut too. So he's thinking, well, if his don't taste very good, mine probably is not going to taste very good. If I make him eat it, I have to eat it. So he wisened up. He said, I'll make you a deal, Chris. He said, if you eat a piece of my donut, then I won't make you eat your donut. That sounds like a pretty good deal, right? A piece versus the whole thing, right? And so I don't know what his donut was. I don't know what it was, but it was a big old thing. And he ripped off a piece and there was some white stuff on it. I put that thing in my mouth, and no sooner had I put that piece of donut in my mouth, stuff began to crawl in my mouth. Those white things were maggot larvae that was on the top of that donut. And I began to, it came out my nose. Can I just say, I've never eaten anything from Mexico ever, and I don't plan on eating anything there from the rest of my life. That donut ruined it for me. I'm sorry. There's probably some lovely people there that make lovely food, but I'm not eating it. Why? Because it became loathsome. And that's what the children of Israel, they were not known for their contentment. They quailed till it was loathsome, and they complained about that. And God would give them a blessing, and they would complain about that. And so there's a challenge here that Joshua has. God has given him a challenge to take care of a job he wants done. It's not going to be easy. Christian, can I say that just because God gives us a job does not mean it's going to be easy? Recently, we got a dog. His name is Rez. And my wife, she came from the Navajo Rez. Her dad's a missionary there off the Navajo Rez. And so he was a stray dog. And so it was only fitting we called him a Rez dog. And so his name is Rez. And he's a part German Shepherd, part Rottweiler. And so he's a puppy. He's only about 15 or 16 weeks. And our yard was just a bunch of stickers. So he would come in with stickers in his feet all the time. And of course, I would like to say my wife felt bad for him, but that was not the case. She was like, I don't care. He can pick the stickers out of his foot. I was like, poor dog, we got to landscape the yard. And so I blamed it on her and said, my wife wants me to landscape the yard because the dog's getting stickers. It was really me. And so we started landscaping the yard. And now we're putting in a brick patio there. And so my dad said, my dad used to do that for a living before he started to preach. And so he said, look, man, I'll help you with that. I'll take care of that. I'll help you. And so we're out there. Well, yesterday I was out there swinging a Maddox all day. I mean, I got out there at 7 o'clock in the morning. I didn't come back inside till 7 o'clock at night. I'm swinging a Maddox trying to break up that hard dirt, trying to get those roots out of the ground so that I don't have roots coming up through the bricks. And I called my dad. I said, hey, man, you said you were going to help me. And he said, yeah, I didn't say it was going to be easy, though. Right? God said he would help Joshua, but it didn't make it easy for Joshua. Joshua still had 2 million, at least, complaining Jews that he had to deal with. Right? His job was not an easy one. Christian, just because God gives us a job to do does not mean it's going to be easy. You with me this morning? Some people say, well, I tried that job, but it was too hard. Well, maybe try again. Maybe try a third time. Maybe try again, because God, when God gives us a job, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. God said he'd be with us, but he didn't say it was going to be easy. My dad used to make this statement. My last name is Cowan, and so whenever we'd have a something that was hard or something was difficult, we'd say, Dad, it's difficult, and he'd make the statement. He'd say, Cowans break down walls. What was he telling me? He said, I don't care how hard it is, get the job done. Do what you got to do to get the job done. And can I say that Christians ought to have that mindset? Christians break down walls. Hey, if there's a job that God has given to us, we're going to get the job done. There was a challenge there. But not only was there a challenge, there was a conflict. The Israelites are about to be engaged in a battle. They're about to attack one of the most fortified cities of that day. You understand, Jericho was known for its walls that were so wide they could drive chariots across the top of it. Now, I have a rock wall in my backyard. And it's about 8 inches thick. And if you asked me to try to break that thing down, I'd say go find someone else. Because that's a lot of work to break an 8-inch wall down. You with me? They had a wall that was so big, they could drive chariots across it. And they're about to attack that city. Hold on a second. Rewind a moment. That's a big battle. Sometimes we don't realize the battle that they were going into. And God didn't tell them how he's going to take care of it. He just said, obey. He never said, hey, this is going to how it's going to turn out. It's going to be this beautiful story. And you're going to be able to say, hurrah, hurrah, we did it without harm. He said, hey, just listen to me, obey me, and I'll take care of you. And they were fixing to go into this battle, and there was a conflict that was fixing to take place. Can I say, Christians, today we are in a conflict. We're in a spiritual battle. Some would like to tell us that it's all the same. Some would like to tell us that, you serve Jesus and I serve this God and it's all the same. Can I tell you this morning, Christian, it's not all the same. And Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're believing in the wrong one. I'm not trying to be harsh this morning, but we're in a spiritual battle. The world tries to push its agenda on the Christian and say, hey, you need to be accepting of all the world's religions, and you need to tell them they'll be okay. As long as they're sincere in what they believe, it'll be okay. Can I say that they may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong? Your sincerity doesn't count. It's not all the same thing. Muhammad the prophet wasn't teaching the God of the Bible. Buddha is not God. Allah is not God. The Mormons don't teach the same God of the Bible. Joseph Smith never knew the true God of the Bible. That's sicko. He didn't. It's not all the same thing. We got to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And I say this, too many Christians have taken their jump rope out to the playground of life, thinking they could skip rope with the devil, all the while they're getting the stuffings whooped out of them. Right? Too many Christians think, oh, we're just going to go to church on Sunday and we'll put in our time and it's not that big of a deal. And the devil's beating the stuffings out of them because they're playing games. Let me just say the devil's not playing games. He's playing for keeps. I used to do some work in the inner city part of Chicago there when I went to college there. And I was in this neighborhood called Trumbull Park. Now, Trumbull Park, you have to understand, had four different gangs in four blocks that were there. Each block had a different gang on that block. And so a gang-infested area, and there was a park right in the smack dab of Trumbull Park there, and we'd play basketball there. So we thought it would be a good idea. Now, you have to understand, in Chicago, very segregated. People of different cultures and ethnicities don't mix well with each other. Okay, and so if you're a certain nationality, you don't go over here, and if you're this, that, you don't go over there unless you want to die. And so that's just how it was. And so we'd go into Trumbull Park, and Trumbull Park was, well, let's just say there was no white people in Trumbull Park. You with me? And so I'm like super white, so I'd go in there and say, hey, white church boy wants to invite you to church. Well, that would draw a crowd in and of itself, because they weren't used to people like me coming in their neighborhood. And so what we'd do is we'd play basketball. We'd say, all right, here's what we're going to do. If I can, me and my buddies, we're church kids. We got our church shoes on. If we compete you in basketball, then you have to come to church with us, right? And if you can beat us, then we'll go to church with you. And so we used to play those games. Now, one of the things we used to do is I used to ask them, you want to play for shoes, right? Playing for shoes. Right? That means if you lost, you had to give the guy your other shoes. And you walked back to your car barefoot. You were ashamed. And we used to make this statement, hey, we're playing for keeps. We're not just playing around. We're playing for something. There's something at stake. Right? We're playing for keeps. We would say, hey, if we win, there's a commitment here. Okay? The stakes here are a lot higher than a pair of shoes, Christian. The stakes today are a lot higher than a pair of shoes. God's the battle that we're in this morning, the battle we're in today, the devil's playing for your life. The Bible says the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may play with, whom he may entertain, whom he may sidetrack. No, the Bible says whom he may devour. This morning we're in a real battle, and it's high time Christians realize the battle that we're in. But notice number next. Not only the challenge, not only the conflict, but notice number next, the confidence that Joshua has. The Bible says here, did you catch that in the scripture? The Bible says that he sees a man with a sword drawn. This man standing there up against the wall with a sword drawn out, and the Bible does not say that Joshua had a weapon. Did you catch that? The Bible doesn't say anything about Joshua having a spear, a weapon, didn't say anything about any of that. The Bible does mention this man with a sword already drawn. And what does the Bible say Joshua did? He walked right up to him. And he goes, hey, Hoss, are you fighting for them or are you fighting for us? That's a pretty confident guy. I mean, let's back up a few statements. This guy had a sword drawn already. All right, Joshua's already at a handicap. But you know what I think he was thinking? God said he would take care of the battle. And this guy, if he's gonna be against us, man, I don't have to worry. I don't have to cower in fear. This guy's just gonna be like the rest of them. He's going down because God's gonna take care of him. He had confidence. Christian, can I say this morning that we ought to have the confidence of our Lord and Savior? We ought to have the same confidence that Joshua has. Many times Christians get pushed around. We as Christians have the tendency to get pushed around because we get intimidated by the ungodly crowd. You ever start telling someone, you invite someone to church, or you're talking to one of your coworkers, and this statement said, "Oh, you really believe that? You know what I feel like saying? And you don't? Oh, you really believe that you ought to be in church? And you don't? You really believe that God created the world by speaking it into existence? Yeah, and you don't? What do you believe? Are you okay?" The world tries to push us into a corner where we feel intimidated. Can I say, Christian, we ought not be intimidated for what we believe and for whom we have believed in. You don't need to apologize for God's word. I say that again. You don't need to apologize for God's word. And so many times, isn't it true in our society today, somebody comes up against us and they begin to make us feel kind of dumb almost. They're trying to make us feel insecure and maybe unintelligent. And they're trying to wow us with their intellectual capabilities. And they begin to make us feel that if we believe in the God of this book, and we believe in the truths of this book, that somehow we're not smart either. Don't let the world make you feel unconfident. You be confident in what you believe. You be confident in the God of the Bible. And so Joshua, he was very confident in what he believed. Can I say, teenagers, we ought not be ashamed of being a Christian. Young adults, we ought not be ashamed of being Christian. You know, it's easy for, it seems like, I've never been a senior saint, but it seems like it might be easier for the senior saint who's been a Christian for 40, 50 years. Hey, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian before you were born. I'll be a Christian after you get hit by a truck. Man, it don't matter. I'm a Christian, like it, lump it, dump it, or bump it, man. There's nothing. But isn't it hard sometimes when we're trying to fit in, right? We go somewhere and we're just, you know, we say, oh, I don't need to fit in. But, you know, you'd be lying to yourself if you say you didn't want someone to like you. And isn't it hard sometimes when, man, they start to make you feel a little uneasy? And I say, teenager, young person, you got to be bold and confident in your stance for Christ. I mean, you ought not apologize for it. I mean, when you go to a restaurant, man, I love it. I go to a restaurant and I take the teenagers. Man, I pray so loud. I'm hoping someone looks at me. I look around. Oh, it's about to go down. Dear Heavenly Father, whoo, it's about to go down. And you know what I love? The other day we took our kids. It was It was Christmas time last year. We took our teenagers to Cracker Barrel, and we had the whole section, right. And so I got up. I said, "Listen up, teenagers!" And the whole restaurant looked at me. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. We're going to pray and ask God to bless the food. Hold on a second, people. Elbowing. Oh, yes, I am. Whoo. And I pray in the name that is above every name, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. And I think I preached the entire salvation plan in that prayer. Hey, but I'm not going to apologize for being a Christian. Hey, look, bud, I'll chase you across the parking lot to give a tract to you. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. I'm a Christian with a capital C. And young person, we ought to have that mindset that says, you know what? I'm going to be a Christian no matter what. Christian, sometime, do this. Ladies, young men, get in your Sunday outfits. I mean, the nice tie, suit coat. Take your Bible. Walk down to the mall. And just go sit in one of them chairs in the mall. Open your Bible up and just start, cross your leg and start reading the Bible. You'll laugh at how many awkward looks you get. You can just start taking pictures, man. Send it to Funniest Home Videos. Because what you're going to take pictures of, that's the weird stuff. I mean, grief, man. You didn't know comic strips were so funny. Honest. Hey, teenager, take your Bible into Burger King this afternoon when you go to order lunch. Walk in there, she'll say, "What do you want?" "Yes, I'd like a Whopper, cheese, no pickle, give me a large fry, and a Sprite." Say, "Is that it?" You just drop your Bible down on the counter and say, "Praise the Lord, I think that'll do it." You know what she'll do? She'll be going like this. She'll be following your Bible with her eyes. She'll be like, she'll be so distracted by the Bible, she won't even get your order. She'll say, "Excuse me, sir, could you repeat that?" I'm talking about not being ashamed of God's word. Why are we ashamed? Because the world wants to live like heathens. They ought to be ashamed. You ever see, you deal with a small child and they do something wrong, you say, "Shame on you. They're the ones that are doing wrong. Shame on them, not shame on us." But Joshua was confident in the word of God, and I must hasten. Joshua was confident in what God had him to do. But look number next at the conformity. After Joshua says, hey man, who are you? Why are you here? This guy with the sword, he says, what you doing here? And he says, look, I'm the messenger of God. And at very least, this was an angel from God. And it could have been a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And so we know that to be true. And so we see that Joshua says, hey, what are you doing here? What do you want? What is going on? And the man tells Joshua, he says, hey, hold on a second. I want you to take off your shoes. And Joshua falls down. The Bible says he begins to worship him and he began to obey the word of God or the message of God, even in the little things. Now, I want you to think about something. Joshua is going into battle. We just talked about that. And this man, this angel or messenger of God, tells him to take off his shoes. The Bible says, and Joshua did so. Now, hold on a second. I'm fixing to go into battle. The last thing I'm thinking about is taking off my shoes and just chilling for a while, right? I used to do some mixed martial arts fighting, and before you get ready for a fight or whatever, you do a lot of prep work, like psychological work, you know, trying to get your mind in the right place, making sure that you're not rattled. You're doing a lot of physical work. You're trying to make sure you're ready. Man, someone come and take off your shoes. Get out of here. Take off my... Go find someone else to bug. Right, but the angel says, hold on a second, Joshua, take off your shoes. And Joshua said, okay. I realize I'm fixing to go in the biggest battle of my life, but if God told me to do it, I'll do it. He obeyed God in the little things. He was willing to obey God even in the things he didn't understand. Allow me to share with you three key elements that I believe we can pull out from this verse, verse 15. Number one, I believe that by Joshua taking off his shoes and obeying God even in the little things, I believe that number one, this a time of him taking off his shoes, this holy ground experience, represented a communion with God. Christian, the battle may be huge. The stress in your life might be at an all-time high. However, we must still walk with God. Can I say the time to cancel your Bible reading schedule, to cut down on your prayer schedule, is not when the stress is higher. When the stress is higher, Christian, you got to double your prayer time. Joshua was willing to have a communion with God. You say, well, I just don't have time. Look, if we don't have time for God, we just are too busy. Too busy for our own good. We got to take time to spend with God. Look, Christian, if we have time to eat our Lucky Charms in the morning, we have time to walk with God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't skip breakfast this morning. And I ain't planning on skipping lunch neither. Well, I'm too busy. I'm not too busy to eat. Man, lunchtime come around, my belly start eating my backbone. I'm eating. Hey, Christian, how come I'm too busy for God. I'm too busy to read the Bible. If we have time to watch our favorite television show, we have time to walk with God. If we have time to play the games or time to sleep in or time to do all these extracurricular activities, we have time to walk. You say, well, I don't even do that stuff. I wake up, go to work, and come home, go to sleep. Hey, look, you need to find time to walk with God. If it's important to you, you'll make time. We ought not give up on our walk with God. Can I say we do not and we cannot, it's impossible to have the strength to face the battles of life we will go through if we do not receive strength from Jesus Christ, from God our Father. If we're not receiving strength from God, we will not have the strength to face the battles of tomorrow. Can I say, Christian, tomorrow when you wake up, those battles will be right there. Those problems will be right there. When you walk out of your seat, and you walk to the parking lot and you turn your phone back on, you're going to get hit with about 45 notifications and those problems are going to be right in front of you. And we do not have the strength to face those problems unless we receive that strength from God our Father. We ought not take our Bible time out. We ought to have this communion with God as Joshua did when he took off his shoes. I said, number one, I believe this represents a communion with God. But number two, I believe this represents a compliance to God. You understand that God could have conquered Canaan any way he wanted. We get that, right? I mean, the same God that spoke the world into existence could have said, like, poof, and they just, like, turn into vapor. I mean, I don't know. My mind's pretty imaginative. I'm thinking, you know, he could have been like, arrows come from the sky, and, like, he's just, like, raining arrows, and I don't know. He could have done all kinds of stuff, man. He could have invented the Tommy gun and given it to the Jews back then and let them go in there with a Tommy gun and just annihilate people with, you know, assault rifles. I mean, I don't know. He could have done anything he wanted. The battle wasn't the issue. God was using the battle to strengthen the God's his people. He didn't need the Israelites to conquer Canaan because he was incapable. He had the Israelites go through to conquer Canaan to strengthen their faith. Christian, the battle it's not because God says, well, I guess I'm not powerful enough to stop that problem from coming. God's trying to do something in our life. God's trying to work His will in our life. You ever heard the phrase, problems are not for solving? God didn't give you your problem so you could solve it. God gave you your problem because He has His will in mind. And God gave this battle to the Israelites, and He wanted them to obey Him and conquer Jericho the way He wanted them to conquer it. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? That was burned with fire and brimstone. In Noah's day, he flooded the earth with water. Korah, remember, the earth swallowed them alive. That bunch of hypocrites. God could have done it any way He wanted, but He did it this way because He wanted Joshua and the Israelites to receive strength from God. Joshua was willing to obey God no matter how utterly ridiculous it may have seemed to him. Sometimes I think God tells us to do something and we're thinking, but God, that's kind of dumb. Come on, I'm not the only one. But God, I mean, dude, fixing going to battle. You want me to take off my shoes now? Let me just share some FYI for you. Here, I hate feet. So if God would have told me to take off my shoes, I don't even like my own feet. Man, my shoes are on pretty much 24/7. The only time they come off is right before I go to bed, and they come right back on right afterwards. I mean, that's disgusting. Take off your shoes. I'm not taking off my shoes. What? But God said, no. Listen. I want it. It's a little thing. But obey me in the little things. My dad used to make this statement all the time. If you take care of the little things, the big things seem to take care of themselves. And God's saying, hey, I want you to take care of this little thing. I want you to obey me in the little thing. Christian, we ought to decide that we're going to obey God no matter if we understand it or not. Isn't that what we teach our kids to do? Hey, mama knows best. Daddy knows best. I'm looking out for you. I see something you don't see. So obey me. Right? But we get grown up and we get, you know, too big for our britches and we think, hey, now I get to question God. The Bible says that in Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 14 tells us, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. You know what us doing what we thought was best got us? A path straight to hell. That's what mankind, doing what mankind thought was best, got mankind. And so God says, hey, I want you to listen to what I have to do. Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. We had to make a point. We had to make a decision in our life. Hey, look, it doesn't matter if it's little or if it's big, I'm going to obey God. You know that thing that God's been tapping on your heart, you know, the last week? Like, that's weird, man. That's weird. You know that person that you're at the store? You know what I'm talking about. And you should have those tracks in your pocket, right? And God's saying, hey, go give that lady a track. God, man, if I give her a track, she's going to think I'm weird. That's okay. That's all right. But God, I might lose my place in line. And you're having this conversation with God. You know, like God's going to kind of like meet you at halfway or something. Like say, okay, since you really don't want to. We say, but God, you know, it might look weird. But they might think I'm odd. Right? We have those negotiations with God. And God says, no, just learn to obey me in the little things. See, it's not our job to pack out every chair in this auditorium. Hold on a second, before you think I'm preaching apostasy here. Hold on a second. It's not my job to fill the seats in my auditorium or in our auditorium. That's His job. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will surely draw all men unto me. Right? That's God's job. My job is to obey Him. My job is to go and share the gospel. My job is to give the gospel to every creature, the little things. And God takes care of the bigger picture. Christian, can I say, if we learn to obey God in the little things, God will take care of the rest of the picture, no matter how small or ridiculous it may seem. But number next, I believe, and finally, I believe that this also represented a charge from God. Turn to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 6. The book of Ruth chapter 4 and verse 6. As I was studying this passage of Scripture some time ago, I began to think, why did God have him take off his shoes? And that's why I came up with this message. But as I began to study this message, there was many things about the feet and shoes that I learned in the Bible, and much I could bring forth, and I will not for the sake of time. But I want to share with you something that I learned that I believe is so fitting in this passage of Scripture. You're in Ruth chapter 4. We're going to read verse 6. The Bible says, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now hang on to this verse, number 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor and said, and this was the testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it. So he drew off his shoe. This is the story of Ruth and Boaz and how Boaz took off his shoe, and to seal the fact that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, gave the shoe to his neighbor, right, as the seal. Well, who is our kinsman redeemer? It's our Heavenly Father. And Jesus and God had given a promise to Moses. Remember the burning bush experience? Where he too said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And the Bible says, and Moses did so. And he made that same covenant with God, with Moses. And God and Moses made a covenant where he said, look, Moses, I'm taking off my shoe to represent this covenant. I'm giving you this shoe to represent the covenant that I'm making with you, that I will be with you, and I will protect you, and I will give you comfort, and I will help you through the battles, and I will take care of the problems. Look, Moses, I'm making a covenant with you. And we look at the scripture and we see that not a single time did God ever fail Moses. Moses failed God, but God never failed Moses. And now Joshua comes to the same point in his leadership. He's now fixing to go in the battle. And God says, Joshua, take off your shoes. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm promising that I'll protect you. I'm promising that I'll take care of you. I'm going to be your redeemer, and you will be my people, and I'll take care of it. I believe that this is the time that Joshua received a charge from God. Joshua was given a charge. He was given a responsibility by our Savior. Christian, God has given us a responsibility. Matthew chapter 5 tells us, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in your in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Christian, you weren't called to take it easy. You were called to fight. I say that again. You weren't called to take it easy. You were called to fight. You ever heard that statement? We say it when we're saying goodbye to someone. Hey, take it easy. I never got that statement. Yeah, hey, don't do nothing. Hey, be lazy the rest of the week. That's what you're saying. You ever think about the things we say? That's cool. So it's like not cold, but not hot. It's cool, right? But hey, take it easy. So many Christians are taking it easy. Take it easy. And we do. We don't go soul winning. Don't invite nobody to church. Christian, we weren't called to take it easy. We were called to fight. We're not called to social clubs. We're called to fight. We weren't called to be enamored with the world and their crowd. We were called to fight. Teenager, you weren't called to play video games and watch movies and hang out with friends. You were called to a spiritual fight. Christian, we were called to be separate and to fight the good fight of faith. Can I say that with the charge that Joshua received, he also received with it strength. God gave us the strength to obey him. God's asked you to fulfill the Great Commission. No, God's commanded you to fulfill the Great Commission. It's a command by God. And God says, I want you to be separate. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. God says, there's a life that I want you to live, and there's a path that I have for you, and there's a job and a responsibility that only you can fulfill. I have a purpose for you. And he says, not only do I have a charge and a purpose for you, but I have the strength that comes along with that. We see the end of that battle, and Joshua, they just cleaned house in Jericho. I mean, they whooped up on them Jerichoites, however you say that. I mean, they made a mess of that city. God gave him the strength that he needed. But before Joshua ever won the battle, he had to take off his shoes. Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you bless the time of altar. Lord, I pray that, Lord, if we've received something from the message this morning, Lord, as the instruments play in a few moments and as the altars are open, that, Lord, you deal with our hearts and that, Lord, we'd be sensitive to that dealing and, Lord, we'd come forward and talk to you and commune with you. And, Lord, we'd affix and get right whatever is wrong in our life and that, Lord, we dedicate to be more separated and sanctified unto you, to Lord, to walk in your way, and Lord, to obey you in the little things. Lord, help us, we pray, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.